the Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. And in this gospel lesson that is usually assigned for Thanksgiving, Jesus heals 10 lepers, and only one, who happened to be a Samaritan, returned to give him thanks. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Friends, let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, you have given us so many things, but most of all, you have made us a member of your kingdom. You have taken us in where we are no longer strangers. Bless us now as your people, in your word and in our lives, where no matter where we are, we can lift up our hearts and voices in thanks to you. Amen. My text, as is in that little half sheet, the words of Ruth: "Do not urge me to leave you, to return from following you, for where you will go, I will go. Where you will lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." I suppose I can begin with the title of my message. Friends, welcome to this strange place. And no matter who you are, there is an element about where we are now that is strange. Perhaps for our visitors, it's like, "No, you've never been in here before. And this place is," and compared to some of the churches you are, this may seem small, it may seem large, who knows. For others that not that long ago moved down here, there is still a strangeness about this. And even for some of you that have been here for 30 years but did not grow up here, part of your heart will always be at another place that you call home. And there's still an element about where we are that's strange. But you know, it's in that setting that I can probably talk to you about something that I think all of you understand, and I'll say kind of in a joking way, I'm sure is one of your favorite things to do. How many of you just love to move? Sometimes hands go up, sometimes they don't, but I wouldn't have expected many here. No matter what it is, even if we understand that this is something we have to do, there's nothing pleasant about a move. It's not a bad thing, I suppose. At some point, it's nice every once in a while to go through your stuff. I remember when my wife and I, our entire family, was moving from South Dakota to Illinois. That's 15, 16 years ago. But we lived in South Dakota about 10 years. And finally, everything was packed up on the truck and whatever. And I remember telling my wife, Kathy, I said, "You know, if we turned around and changed our minds and decided never mind, just having gone through our stuff wasn't such a bad thing. But if you do complete the move, whether you move a few miles or, as usually the case when I've moved, hundreds of miles, everything is different. You, for example, may have grocery stores in both the old community and the new one, but you don't have that one that has that particular thing in this aisle and that thing and that. You had the layout of your grocery store perfect, and now you don't know where anything is. And now you got to find new gas stations, new mechanics, new doctors. And one of my favorite, a new person to either style your hair or give you a haircut. One of the hardest things sometimes to replace. And even if you join a Christian congregation, you may at some point find out that they've got resources like some of those in that congregation, but not today. For those of you that are kids, or those of you that have kids, you may at some point decide that this is the best school you could have ever have asked to be a part of, and even better than the school you used to be a part of, but not right away. You may live in a neighborhood where at some point all of your neighbors are some of your best friends, and you really do espouse what is supposed to be a neighborhood, but not right away. You know, It's a difficult thing to go to a new place. And yet, here in our text for this morning, we see Ruth having a willingness to do that, that we all need to have. And why? Because God sends us, and God sends us to follow Him. And wherever God sends us, God sends us to follow Him. And let's face it, no matter where you go, it's going to be into strange places. If you are a Christian, the world is getting, shall we say, stranger all the time. A world that we used to thought, especially within the gathering of the United States here, we thought we knew well. And suddenly it seems like we have less and less in common with it all the time. We are getting to the point we barely recognize our own country. But what's worse is how you are viewed as Christians. All of a sudden, you are the strange person. And strange is hardly the word. All of a sudden, just because you are Christian, all of a sudden, you're being treated in some corners as though you are the most vile person that has ever walked on the face of this earth. You are truly seen as a foreigner. You are truly seen as a threat, as a danger. But you know, God sends us into other things as well. And one of the things we have to remember is you know, God knows about all this stuff that's going on. Not only the stuff that's going on around us, but the stuff that's going on inside of us. You know, we never know when that day is going to come, when if we're going to be involved in a really bad car accident, when that's going to be. When we go to the doctor's office and out of nowhere we are given a horrible diagnosis, either on behalf of ourselves or on behalf of a loved one. We are not prepared for that time. When all of a sudden a certain event, a storm from out there or a storm from in here comes upon us totally unawares and it changes our lives forever. But God has prepared us for that. You take a look at the gospel lesson for this morning, and here you had 10 lepers. Now, what they called leprosy back then, we're learning now, could have been any one of about three different things. They were all lumped as leprosy. Some of them were contagious, but some were not. Some of them were quite serious, but some were not. But they were all lumped together, and they were separated from the community and were not allowed to rejoin the community until a priest was able to say, yeah, it's gone, you're clean, you can rejoin the fellowship. Just imagine being completely ostracized from every part of life. Maybe we don't have to. We see it in our own lives. And hopefully what it has us doing is what they did. Are we prepared to go and tell our Lord and Savior, I need your help. Have mercy on me, Lord. And God does. You know, no matter what ended up finally happening from Hurricane Matthew this past week, there's a kind of a correlation because you know, the storm clouds were gathering. We really didn't know how bad it was going to be. But we know how dangerous something like that is, and we take it seriously. We need to do the same thing with the sin that's in our lives. Because when God declares us forgiven, it is the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. Better than any, when we're declared free from whatever diagnosis or anything else. God has given us this, and it is incredible. And even as he said to the lepers, go show yourselves to the priests. That was their indication. It's going to be gone. We are going to have a brand new life. Okay, what are we going to do with it? And that's where it says God sends us to live our lives in thankfulness. And to live our lives in thankfulness requires us to be able to do two things. First, and look at it as the top and bottom of a traffic light. First of all, it requires us to stop and give him thanks. And clearly that's important. It means something to Jesus because, you know, the one goes back and Jesus is like, we're not 10 cleansed, where are the other 9? It is important to God that he be recognized. That we take that moment in prayer and whatever else where we just stop. And whether it is for the great blessings or the blessings that we practically take for granted, things that are around us every day, we don't even bother with it, it's there. We take the time to say, thanks, God. Thanks. But then we go forth from there, as many of those lepers did not, and now live our lives in thankfulness. live our lives in ways that show that we truly have a new life that is so totally different than our old one. It's like living a half a world away. Friends, about 10 years ago, a half a world away, there were some individuals from a major corporation that were sent over to St. Petersburg, Russia. And they were sent over there because they were going to begin to set up whether it was a headquarters or just some sort of a contract of some kind over there. In the midst of that, in that same division, was a person who was a member of my congregation. I guess I can tell you now that he and his wife had been in my office at one time, and they were really sad because they had a son, but they had been informed by the doctor they couldn't have any more children. And they were inquiring with me about adoption possibilities, and unfortunately, while our Lutheran Social Service Division used to have one of its largest branches involved adoption, because of all the restrictions that were starting to come in even back then and have really come in now, it's gotten to the point where that agency can do very little. It is almost non-existent, and the waiting list sometimes is as long as 7 and 8 years. But while these gentlemen were in St. Petersburg, they would just send back little factoids to the people that were working there. And one of the things that they passed back was that we got word that there was a hospital just down the street where a little boy had just been dropped off there. Obviously, nobody knows by who, and the hospital can't find an orphanage to take this little boy. And the gentleman who worked in this division, who had been in my office, saw that and wondered whether that child could become their son. And they began through the process and the infinite amounts of paperwork and the horribly expensive trips over to St. Petersburg. One trip that involved them being over there for 6 weeks in the middle of a Russian winter, by the way, where they would be allowed to see the child at most for 2 hours a day. Well, in the midst of all that was that they had to do, slowly but surely, the paperwork was coming through. And while all this was taking place, we started putting pictures of him in my church up on the screen, just like the screens we have here, and praying for this little boy whose name was Keegan. And at some point, we didn't have to put pictures up anymore. We got to meet him for real. And he became part of that family and part of our family. And now today, he would take a look at me and not have the slightest idea who I am. And I would look at him and wonder, what happened to him? He grew up so much. But a new life in a new place with new parents and a connection to a Lord and Savior that he may never have had from a young boy that was dropped off in front of a hospital. My friends, he did not know and was not in a position to say, your people shall be my people and your God shall be my God. But he could see this was where the Lord was leading him. And the Lord doesn't lead any of you any less than that. Ruth could never have imagined what was going to happen. She certainly could not have known that she was going to be the great-grandmother of King David, who ended up, of course, being the house and lineage that led us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That may be an interesting story, but I almost promise you, your stories from the places you've been and the things that you've done are just as exciting. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 15 years from now, stories are going to be written about what God has done. But no matter where it is that you go, we go forth willing to allow God to take us wherever, however, and with whatever he has need of us. And we learn. We cling to God as Ruth clung to Naomi, willing to let God be our guide because God was the one that gave up a horrible sacrifice of his own son, that we might be cleansed from sin. And from that, my friends, let's remember. Let's make our lives lives that recognize what God has done for us, that it is God leading the way, that God is our God, and that we, in both how we live and even what we say, are willing once in a while to just stop. To just stop and in our hearts, in humility, or looking up to the heavens where our Lord and Savior is, we can simply say, thanks, God. Thanks for everything. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, we now confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed, which is on the screens, or always on the back inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory, judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Friends, the Lord is gracious and merciful. He sent redemption to his people. So let us lift up our prayers to his throne of grace for all the people of God and for each person according to their needs. Faithful Lord, in the midst of trouble and in the face of death, grant to us the faith that you have given, first to Naomi, then to Ruth, then to each of us, so that we never doubt that you will be able to provide for us, carrying us through the difficult times of life, even in the shadow of death. Assure us when we face persecution for our faith, that we are made strangers in our own land, that when we have died with Christ, we will also live with him. Guard and strengthen everyone who is and will be persecuted for the faith. Lord, in your mercy, faithful Lord, by your Holy Spirit, help us to trust that you have cleansed us by his blood, so that we may raise our voices of praise, like the leper did, in joyful response to your loving care, and then to live our lives in what is truly thanksgiving in all that you have given us. As you use Naomi and Ruth to care for each other, use us to be caring friends who are willing to sacrifice for each other and declare together, your people shall be my people and your God my God. Thank you for the example of trust in you, the loving deeds for each other that have been set by all your saints and the doors which you open for each of us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, as we approach another time of our election, grant to our area, our state, and our nation, leaders who are not influenced by opportunities for money or power or abuse, but rather people who care for all of the people that are under their influence, that will work for justice, that will govern with integrity, that will defend life, that are filled with wisdom. Strengthen them for their duties. And remind us always that all of our elected and appointed officials have been set there by you. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful Lord, turn the hearts of unbelievers to trust in Jesus and bestow on them the faith that makes them well. And as you have cleansed the lepers by the gracious working of your Son, bring your help and healing into the lives of those who suffer in any way today. Grant them patience, faith, and trusting hearts. We now lift up our hearts for someone in our own life that we now name before you in a moment of silence who is in need of the healing that only you can give. Lord, no matter what road you take us down, what path you have chosen for us, teach us always to join in giving thanks to you and in trusting you, who is truly our God. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful Lord, you provided food for the bodies of Naomi and Ruth. Provide food both for our bodies and souls, as you now nourish us with the body and blood of your Son and our Redeemer. Grant us faith that approaches your table with repentance. Leaves your table strengthened to do your work in this world. For in your hands, faithful Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting your mercy through Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude in our service folders on page 10 with the closing collect. Please stand as we pray this prayer together. Father in heaven, you showed your faithfulness to Ruth and Naomi as they journeyed to Bethlehem, and you have shown faithfulness to us as you called us out of sin and darkness into your marvelous light. Give us the strength to be obedient to your will, the courage to be faithful to your command to make disciples, and the power to live our lives as your children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.